Well, it has been an unprecedented year. Crazy. With all the
stuff?
Yeah.
It's unprecedented how many times we've actually heard the word unprecedented.
Our dream vacation was canceled.
You got to keep the job you don't like.
You know they can see you?
But let me tell you all the no's, friends. No going to restaurants, no movie theaters, no movie theater popcorn, no state parks, no going to athletic events, no church services, and no...
Don't say it. Don't.
Hey, kids! You've got to be more careful with the toilet paper! This is all we have!
All the drive-by birthday parties, graduations, baby showers.
I will say this, I felt a little awkward throwing out that baby shower gift into the front yard.
You weren't supposed to do that.
It just feels like a wasted year. I said it.
There's just all the time at home.
Boom!
And all the time that we were made to spend together. Hey, honey! Honey!
Leave me alone!
All the heart-to-hearts.
Mm.
Goodness.
Speaking of hearts, our son, Jason, right over there, said yes to Jesus. Right at that kitchen table.
July 17th, 2020.
You know, I guess it's not really wasted time because God didn't waste a moment of it.
I think I have the answer to what I'm thankful for.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What is it?
Everything.
In just 4 short days, it will be Thanksgiving. Certainly not the Thanksgiving we all would have pictured on January 1 of this year. If we were to survey this year so far, we would probably be challenged to find things to be thankful for, at least on the surface. Thanksgiving will look different for a lot of people this year. In the United States alone, there have been over 11 million cases of coronavirus and over 250,000 deaths. To date. Clearly, that leaves a lot of impact on a lot of families. And because of the significant rise of cases recently, we're encouraged not to have the traditional large family gatherings as we would normally have or would like to have, but to limit the gathering to your immediate household. Early this week, I read a report where stores were actually running out of small turkeys because of smaller gatherings this year. As an interesting side note, a large mistake on Thanksgiving in 1953 started a whole new industry. Someone at Swanson obviously miscalculated the level of American need for Thanksgiving turkeys that year, and they were left with 260 tons of frozen turkeys in 10 refrigerated railroad cars. At an average pound of 15 pounds each, that's 34,667 turkeys extra left over. So Swanson got creative and invented the first TV dinner with the leftover turkeys, concocting a straightforward meal of turkey with cornbread dressing and gravy, peas, and sweet potatoes topped with a pat of butter. They launched the first TV dinner at a price of 98 cents and started, as I said, a whole new industry. However, we find ourselves on Thanksgiving this year, we usually start the day with the greeting of Happy Thanksgiving. Well enough, but have you ever really thought about it? We say Happy Thanksgiving, not Merry Thanksgiving, like Merry Christmas. It's different. It's Happy Thanksgiving. And what are we saying when we say that? I mean, it's just what we say. We don't really think about it, but do you want others to have a happy day, or do you want them to be happy in their Thanksgiving? And what do we mean happy? What exactly makes us happy? And certainly for other people, everybody, it's a little different for everyone. And as believers, followers of Christ, are we supposed to be happy? Does Scripture, we have chapter and verse for that. Scripture tells us what to be happy. The Bible says a lot about joy, but does it tell us to be happy? I mean, we know there's a difference between happy and God's joy. Jesus addresses it, sort of, in the Beatitudes, the sermon we call the Sermon on the Mount. It begins in chapter 5, in verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up to them on a mountain, and he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We get the name Beatitude from the Latin word that sounds like beatitude, and it means happy, sort of. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst," he was saying, happy are those who do those things, sort of. The Living Bible actually translates blessed as happy, and it's not incorrect. When Jesus was saying blessed or happy, it's a different happy than we would think of when we say, "Oh, I'm happy." Our happy is very shallow by comparison. The happy Jesus referred to was and is a deep-seated happiness that is rooted in God, his nature, and character by which the blessings of God flow in your life. It can be expressed, oh, the blessedness of knowing God in reality. So when we approach this Thanksgiving with the attitude of happy Thanksgiving, it might be good to define why we are happy and to actually be happy in our thankfulness for God, to God, regardless of life's circumstances. True thankfulness to God will usher in our happiness in our life. And the reality is our happiness is usually rooted in our circumstances. If things are going good, if things are going our way, we're happy and thankful. And that's not too hard to understand. I mean, I like when things go my way, don't you? Things go my way, I'm a happy guy. I like where it's going. When things don't go our way, well, it becomes a little harder to be happy. Likewise, when we're not happy, we don't tend to be very thankful. When was the last time something was going bad in your life and you thanked God for it? We don't do that. Scripture does encourage us to always be thankful, regardless of our circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In everything give thanks. Yes, it shows our attitude towards God. It may not be easy, but it can be cultivated. One man wrote this: "The day before Christmas became a Thanksgiving day for my family. The station wagon was packed with kids and travel stuff for the 400-mile trip to Grandma's. As our custom, before leaving, we asked God to protect us on the road. He did, but in an unusual way. As we were cruising down I-75 in Ohio, we ran over some debris in the road. It made a lot of noise, but did no damage, or so we thought. With every passing mile, we figured the crisis had passed. When we pulled off the expressway for gas a few miles later, though, we were in for a deflating surprise. I felt a sickening, sloppy feeling in the front of the car. Both tires in the front had gone flat. We weren't happy with having to replace the tires, but we were thankful for God's care. Thankful we didn't have an accident. Thankful that the tires stayed inflated until we got off the expressway. Thankful for the tow truck sitting at the gas station. Thankful that a repair shop was open, and we were thankful for God's answer to our prayer." And so the Living Bible takes Thessalonians 5:18 this way: "No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." At times, the circumstances of our life are not always the best. In fact, sometimes we have situations that are downright bad. They're not good. And yet we're to look for something to be thankful for, to thank God for. There's always something that we can thank God for in our lives. Dr. Dale Robbins writes this: I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I've come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustration, spreads discontent and discord, and can evoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc in our lives. Complaining makes us miserable. Psalm 77:3 says, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. And so what is the opposite of thanksgiving? Of course, it would be lack of thanksgiving or ungratefulness, but it's really often complaining. If you're not thankful, you are complaining. And we see in Philippians 2, this beautiful verse here, chapter 2, verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. The Bible makes a lot of references to living in a dark world. In fact, Ephesians 5 says, you were once darkness before you knew Christ, but now you're light in the Lord. And Jesus tells us in John 8, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. A positive, thankful person is a great witness in this dark world. We only shine when we are thankful. And we need that in our world right now. People need to see the light of Christ and the followers of Christ. And knowing our hearts are thankful and grateful to God regardless of the circumstances. There's a beautiful psalm of thanksgiving. We find it in Psalm 100. Verse 1 and following, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Verse 1 tells us, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Some translations say all the earth. Every land, every nation, every person, to make a joyful shout to the Lord. As a country, we have become far from thankful. As a country, you're divided in so many ways, and there's a lot of complaining going on in our country daily. Parents, my caution to you is to be just that. Be cautious, be vigilant. Raising a child in our current culture, if you don't allow it or watch it, will cause them to be angry, complaining, and entitled person. Because that's what we hear around us all the time. Angry people, upset, complaining, and entitled. Make every effort to show your child or grandchild God's light, God's grace, God's truth, and God's hope. Clearly, there's a lot to be changed in our land. And I just don't see in Scripture where whining and complaining will accomplish godly change. We're a people and a nation that is blessed. In spite of the pandemic, we are a people and nation that is blessed. There are other nations, third world countries, that are dealing with the coronavirus that don't have the help and the blessings and the abilities that we have. And that's not to lessen any of the pain that somebody is experiencing or going through in this challenging time in our country. But a nation that is blessed, and the blessing comes from God. Of all those who should give thanks to him and praise his name, the followers of Christ should be first to show the way. We should be at the top. And I have not heard a joyful shout to the Lord in our land lately. In a few days, Thanksgiving will be over, and we typically turn our attention to Christmas. It's not uncommon to get a list of what we're going to get for somebody, or people will make a list of this is what we would like. We make up these lists for the things we want for Christmas. We draw up resolutions for the new year. What if we were to compile a Thanksgiving list, the things that we are thankful for in our life right here and right now, regardless of what's happening around us? And it's not that we're never thankful. Often we are. Would you ever think about preparing a list of things you're thankful for and thinking about them on a regular basis? Perhaps a list written and read often would help us develop an attitude of gratitude, to be reminded of the blessings we have in our life. For there are always blessings regardless of what's happening. So as believers, we can turn Thanksgiving into thanks living, to have a life of thankfulness. Of course, we know that the Thanksgiving was established by the early settlers. They had endured hardship, famine, loss of life of many of their loved ones. When they came into the new world, there was a very difficult time. And once they had a bountiful harvest, they declared thanks to God for his provision and his protection. In spite of hardship and circumstances, they expressed a boundless thanksgiving and faith in God and saw themselves as one nation under God. I suspect there would be little chance of a happening nationwide today to proclaim that we are one nation under God. And we are more influenced by the naysayers or the truly thankful. Because you're surrounded by naysayers, and how often are you surrounded by the thankful people? And when you think about it, Thanksgiving is a distinctive holiday. It doesn't commemorate a battle or anyone's birthday or anniversary. It's simply a day set apart to express our thanksgiving to our nation's God. We have far more than what our forefathers ever dreamed of. One would assume we would be even more thankful than they were. We're so much removed, so much farther ahead than what they did when they came over. We should be the most thankful people ever, but it seems to be the opposite. The more we get, the less thankful we tend to become, the less mindful of God we are as a country, and the more we want. We looked at Psalm 100. It's likely that Psalm 100 was written to deal with just that attitude of a lack of gratitude. We need to be reminded to be thankful, and we need to be reminded to maintain an attitude of gratitude. Psalm 100, of course, was written for the people of Israel. God said to them, when you come into the promised land and settle down in your warm homes, you have plenty to eat, don't forget me. I led you out of the wilderness into a land of flowing with milk and honey. Don't forget me. God knew that when they were settled in the houses they didn't build, began to drink from the vineyards and the wells they didn't dig, and started eating from vineyards they didn't plant, it'd be easy to forget that it was a gift from God. So 8 times in the book of Deuteronomy, he warns them not to forget the Lord or the terms of their covenant. The people of Israel needed a reminder, and so do we. We need to be reminded. We need to remind ourselves to be a thankful person. God realized that. He starts the psalm by addressing it to the earth, to all the land. Every person needs to be reminded to be a thankful person. He ends the psalm with the last verse that mentions all generations. And it's wonderful to be thankful to God, but God also realizes what it does to you when you develop an attitude of gratitude, a heart full of thankfulness. Your demeanor changes. Your physiological, everything about you changes. You're healthier. You're better when you have attitude of gratitude and thankfulness instead of complaining and bickering and on and on. The message of Thanksgiving is so deep and so wide, it applies to every person in every area and every era of their life. Some of you would recognize the name Alex Haley. Several years back, he was the author of Roots. And he had an unusual picture hanging on his wall in his office. It was a picture of a turtle on a fence post. You may have seen it over the years. And someone asked him, why is it there? And Alex Haley answered, every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think that they are wonderful and begin to feel proud of myself, Or look at the turtle on top of the fence and remember that he didn't get there on his own. He had help. That's the basis of Thanksgiving. It's to remember that we got where we are by the blessings and the help of God. He is the provider of every blessing we have in our life. So what is the correct attitude towards God when we recognize the blessing he's given us? We see it in 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I've said this many times, but whatever you have, whatever you've been able to accomplish, you did so because of the grace and blessings of God and the provisions he's given you and the abilities he's provided for you in your life. Your talents and abilities are God-given. Regardless of how much you've worked to establish them and improve them, and while we should, we had them in the first place from God. Improving our abilities and growing in our abilities, only being good stewards, really, of what God has given us. And not just to heap things on ourselves, but to be able to be a blessing in other people's lives as well. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. Most of us are probably thinking, I am nowhere near rich. That's because we tend to measure ourselves by the world standards. We look at the Bill Gates or the Jeff Bezos of the world and we say, we've got a long way to go. But that's the wrong vantage point. We need to try God's vantage point. Picture yourself standing in heaven, looking down and surveying the world. If you've attended the church for any amount of time, you've probably heard me use this analogy before because it's so staggering to me. But if you're in heaven, as God is looking down the world, you see 80% of the world lives on less than $10 a day. 50%, over 3 billion people, live on less than $2.50 a day. I mean, it is an incredible statistic. We find things in a garage sale or in a garbage bin that most of the world would consider a luxury. We're blessed. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. Arrogant people are not thankful people. Command those who have the blessings of God in this world to not be arrogant, to not be ungrateful, but to be thankful. And notice the last part of this verse. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God delights in blessing his people. But our idea of enjoyment gets completely out of whack. We work so hard when we decide to have some fun, it usually takes a lot of work. Plan a vacation lately, but of course we're not traveling much in this crazy life that we're living now in the pandemic, but when you try to get away and there's any kind of travel, it's a lot of work. Are we having fun yet? It just takes a lot of work. And someone said, we worship our work, we work at our play, and play at our worship. That's true for a lot of people, but I certainly hope it's not true for God's people. And 2 Timothy writes and speaks of latter days, and it's such an apt description of where we're at now. Let's look at 2 Timothy, starting chapter 3, verse 1. But mark this. Pay attention, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, pride, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. God gives us his blessings for our enjoyment, but it's never meant to replace God, but to honor God with gratitude and thankfulness. And notice his lover of pleasures rather than lovers of God. We're called to love God and to acknowledge it in our life in every way. It's right to enjoy the blessings of God, but not to become our main focus. We're not to focus on the gifts, but rather the gift giver. And James tells us this in 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. If it's good, it's from God. But let's not forget God. We tend to look at ourselves and compare what we have and where we are with others. That's a prescription for trouble. Some years ago, there was a cartoon by the beloved Charlie Brown, and he's bringing Snoopy's bowl of dinner out on Thanksgiving Day, but it's just his usual bowl of dog food. Snoopy took one look at the dog food and said, "This isn't fair. The rest of the world today is eating turkey with all the trimmings, and all I get is dog food. Because I'm a dog, all I get is dog food." He stood there and stared at his bowl for a moment and said, "I guess it could be worse. I could be a turkey." I've shared this, but my father used to have a saying, "I felt sorry for myself when I didn't have any shoes until I saw a man without feet." There's always a reason to rejoice and be thankful and bless our God. Several years ago, some German immigrants came to America. They told this true story of a woman living on a farm in Germany who brought to her minister an amount in German money, the equivalent to that time of about $10 in American money. She laid the money down and told her preacher, "In former years, I've had to pay about this amount in medicine. This year, there's been no sickness in our family. I want to show our gratitude to the Lord in this way." Sometime later, the same woman came again to her minister and about $5, explained that many of her neighbors had suffered damage from a recent windstorm, but her farm had been spared. She said, "I bring this donation as an offering of thanks." That's gratitude. In this world of COVID, division, protests, riots, constant finger-pointing, constant blaming, we must guard against getting pulled down into the quagmire of our current culture. When you know Christ and his salvation, you always have reason to be thankful. So again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." See, we often misunderstand this verse, and we struggle to live this out in our lives. And there's a word in here that we really need to pay attention to, because it's the key to being successful in having this in our lives. There's a big difference in giving thanks in everything compared to for everything. God never tells us to give thanks for everything. He knows there are a lot of things in his fallen world that will bring us pain and suffering. God tells us to be thankful in everything. The NIV puts it this way, 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." No matter what happens, give thanks. The opposite is complaining. The opposite is ungrateful thanklessness. During tumultuous time, God reminds us to focus on him and his faithfulness to us rather than on our circumstances, to dwell on the promise he'll never leave us, never forsake us, to trust him in every situation in life we face, reminded that he's with us in the most challenging of times. In fact, in the most dire, challenging, difficult times are the times that you can find yourself closer than ever to God. It's not that he's moved, that we should tend to draw closer when we desperately need him. When we become better or become bitter towards him, or better, we can draw closer to him when we make that choice to look to him in our troubles. We can be thankful because we're never alone in any of life's struggles. We can be thankful because we're promised victory in the end. We can be thankful because God will mature us in every difficult circumstance when we let him. We can be thankful because, according to the Bible, we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we can be thankful because there's a time coming for the follower of Christ when we will literally be seated with Christ in heaven for eternity. Life difficulties will teach us biblical lessons of growth when we allow them. It's the story of a young man who's feeling very proud of himself. As a brand-new college graduate, he's taken his CPA exams and passed with flying colors. Now he's a full-fledged certified public accountant. His father had been an immigrant to the U.S. and now owned this little business. This young man, filled with self-importance, began to criticize his father's way of keeping books. He said, "Dad, you don't even know how much profit you've made. Over here in this drawer are your accounts receivable. Over there are your receipts, and you keep all your money in the cash register. You don't have any idea how much money you've made." And father answered, "Son, when I came to this country, the only thing I owned was a pair of pants. Now your brother is a doctor, your sister is an art teacher, and you're a CPA. Your mother and I own our home, we have a car, and we own this little business. Now add that up. Subtract the pants, and all the rest is profit." I love it. Add it up. That's exactly what we need to do at Thanksgiving. Add it all up. We came into this world with nothing but our eternal soul that God gave us. Everything else is profit, if you will. And the reality is, we can never give too much thanks to God. So as we head into this holiday season, and beginning with Thanksgiving, appropriate really to begin this season of the look for joy and thankfulness, regardless of what's happening around us, and the situation is serious, we can be thankful to God. We can ask Him for help. We can ask Him for healing for our land, protection for us and our people. But be thankful. We can have a happy Thanksgiving. We can be happy in our Thanksgiving. So as we prepare to come, I pray your blessings upon that day. Some of you won't be with the family like you're used to being. And you know what? That's okay. It's challenging, but it's okay. Father, I pray your grace and blessings upon all our people, that you'd be with them and their families, that you'd bring health and healing where they need it, supernatural healing where they need it, Father, miracle in our people's lives, that you protect all our people, that you watch over them, keep them safe in this pandemic, bring provision in the household, that your angels encamp about them and protect and keep them in all they do. They may have a blessed life, provision in the house, and a hunger for you in their hearts. Have a blessed Thanksgiving. Chris and I will be thinking about you. We love you. We pray for you. Have a blessed Thanksgiving. Amen.